You are listening to the Personal Development Project, an initiative seeking to find ourselves and our path to make being us just that little bit easier. When Corona came round just over a year ago, we were thrown into a huge state of flux. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who can relate to the sentiment of endings and beginnings. That's what we talk about today, and we do get quite personal about some of the typical and less typical endings and beginnings that come around in our lives. Enjoy, and we hope it helps you as much as it's helped us. So welcome to the 16th episode of the Personal Development Podcast, and we're here today to speak about a conversation that I think has defined my time at uni, and I think will define a lot of people's lives, and that is endings and beginnings. And I'm joined with two guests, Angus and Isaac. So in routine style, I guess I'll just get you guys to tell yourself a tiny bit about me and how you got roped into this podcast.
Hello. So yeah, my name's Angus. I'm a history graduate. I'm currently doing international relations MSc, which is very interesting for lots of different reasons. So I know Eunice through lots of, mutual friends, but we've had some interesting conversations, more interesting for the context within which we've met. Those conversations sparked an interest in further conversations. And so a mutual friend of ours was discussing the podcast. And
I think that's the politest way of saying I have a reputation for never shutting up. So Angus knew where to go if he just wanted to say some stuff. So then Isaac.
Hi, my name's Isaac Rawcliffe. I am now, as of 2 days, I will be a maths graduate. And yeah, I know Eunice probably since first year, just about, through some friends who do engineering as well. And I think, if anything, I roped everyone into this podcast because it came from a conversation with me and Eunice, but we'll get to that a bit later. And I'm looking forward to it.
So Isaac, this topic, I think, transformed somewhere along the line, because I knew I wanted to have a podcast with you at some point in third year, over a year ago now, and you pulled me over. You were in Queens, pulled me over. And what was it that we got chatting about? Do you remember?
I remember knowing about the podcast. Me, like, I'd like to get involved in that. I like talking. That's a lot of, anyone knows me knows that. But I remember we just got talking about different topics and things, and I think it might not have been endings and beginnings we started talking about, but I think it evolved into that. And I think, as we'll speak about, I know quite a lot about that topic. And I don't know, I feel like it really kind of, it was cathartic for me to talk to you at the time. And I thought that it could be really cathartic to talk about it now. And not just that, help other people as well.
Absolutely.
Hearing someone's firsthand evidence of it and maybe thinking how they've dealt with things, and I've made a lot of mistakes with it, and we're going to learn about them, but maybe not making those mistakes in the future, or even just me listening to it and not making those mistakes.
I think that's what the podcast is all about, because we are just us, unless I'm under any wrong impressions, and we don't have all the answers, but when we afford our experiences the time and we can sit there and think and talk about them, we may stumble across some wisdom that won't only serve us, it may serve anyone else listening. So that's why I think we hit record in the first place. But then, Isaac, I will ask, when was it that, the idea crystallized then into this topic? Was something going on? Because you came to me with this idea of, okay,
I really fancied being on a podcast. Yeah. I was like, that'd be pretty cool. And I don't know, like, I've I've had a lot of pain at that point. I had a lot of things going on, and life is still not easy, and it wasn't easy back then. And I think I found it cathartic to talk to people, and I found it helpful to talk to the people just through it in my own time. And I think when I was speaking to you about it, and we were talking about the podcast, it became apparent to me. I think we both kind of realized it. Like, I think, oh, this could make an episode. Like, this could be really, really good. Mm. And I think we talked about, like, I talked about loss and things ending, and I almost tried to push my own like little story onto the idea of endings and stuff. And I realized, actually, no, like, endings and beginnings are a big, like, big part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, if you really look at it, and we've thought about it a lot, all three of us recently, but it's a lot of endings, and a lot of endings happen at the same time. Mm. And that's unfortunate, but how we deal with those and how the rhetoric has to change, how we can't see them as beginnings and endings, we need to see them as the ending is just another beginning.
Mm.
It's kind of something that really resonated when we spoke about it originally. And I think that's where I, in my head, I was like, oh yeah, I've got a lot of things to say about that.
Were you in the process of one of those transitions?
Yeah, when I first spoke to Eunice about this, my brother had passed away probably, I want to say probably less than a month beforehand. And it was very quick. He went into hospital, and 2 weeks later, we realized he had an extremely rare form of brain cancer, and he passed away. And I didn't quite realize until then, like, I'd been sad in my life, but I hadn't really realized what true loss was. I'd broken up with people, and you lose friends, you move away, but I never really realized what losing and ending something like that was like. And the real kicker to all of it is, it's not, the ending is the pinpoint of it all. But the aftermath and trying to start again afterwards was really almost the hardest bit, because every bit of your life changes.
Mm.
Like, the way you see, like, the way I saw my mum and dad, my grandma and granddad, the way other people saw me, the way I spoke to the people, my best friends, my girlfriend at the time, it was hard. It was all different. It was just, the easiest way to describe it is, like, it was new. Everything felt new again.
Yeah.
I came back from Christmas break, and my brother had passed away, and it felt like I was 2 weeks, 3 weeks behind everyone else, because I'd gone on pause almost.
Yeah.
And you come back and you realize life is still going on, and you're playing catch up almost.
Yeah.
Not just with uni work and seeing people. It's just everything. Like, the relationships completely change, because you're in a different place. It's just so different.
And I think that's why we link the two endings and beginnings, because an end can come round so unexpectedly, and we don't realise necessarily that the ball keeps rolling. It may not look like it does, but different things are going to materialise as a result. You're going to need to be a new person. You're going to need to move differently. Your appreciations and your perspectives need to change. And unfortunately, I've never found myself almost aware of that, expecting that, able to effortlessly transition. So I can't imagine what some of those must have been like for yourself.
I mean, it's just exactly that. Like, when we're talking about endings and beginnings, it's that everyone focuses on the end, but it's actually the beginning that's scary, really.
Okay.
Maybe beforehand, but no one is actually ever worried about the point at which it ends. No one is ever, when someone passes away, for example, no one's like, the point at which their heart stopped beating is when it is the worst bit.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever worried about that bit. No one, when you think about it, no one's ever worried about the relationship. When you say we need to break up, those words, or we are broken up, those words aren't the thing that hurts.
It's the new normal. It's the consequences.
It's the forward thinking, because as humans, we're always forward thinking, and suddenly the future looks less clear. And that's the really scary bit, is that you've had something in your head, subconsciously, consciously, and someone's going to be there, you're going to be in this place, or this place is going to be a certain way, and suddenly it comes crashing down at your feet after it's only a second for someone to pass away. It takes a second for someone to say they broke up with you. You throw your graduation cap in the air and you're done. And suddenly the future is scary as hell, because you have to start again. And that comfortable, no matter how good or bad that comfortable was before, is no longer there.
I think there's an interesting possible reframing available. Like, the end is the point, but then the beginning is a space, and it continues, and it is inextricably linked to that end point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's where the end is allowed to air, and it's all the things that were tied to the ending are carried over into the beginning, and the beginning is where it's all remolded and reimagined, and you're refocusing, and yeah, then you can continue.
What is it that we're carrying over?
But that's the I think Angus kind of touched on it just then. It's the pain. A lot of beginnings start with some pain. And that's bad. Like, I mean, it's not, well, I say it's bad, it's necessary, and maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later, but a new beginning starts with pain, and that's the worst bit about it. You end a relationship, you're now starting again as a single person. That hurt is there, and because you love that person, or you want to be with them for however long, or, for example, my brother passing away, you're starting again as a new person with this pain in your heart, and that actually never leaves you. I don't think it's ever going to leave me. I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I think you're talking about carrying over things. Sometimes that pain or that sorrow is necessary to carry over, because you can't leave it behind. Mm. And as much as you try and push it away and repress it and scream, shout, blame X, Y, and Z, you really just need to hold it, and it's yours.
Mm.
And I think the quicker we can learn to hold on to some of that pain and be like, yeah, it hurts, and I'll look at it and it's mine, the quicker we can go forward.
What does that process look like for you, Isaac, and you, Angus? What is that being there and feeling what needs to be felt, is almost what I'm hearing in your words.
I mean, I struggled for a long time. I mean, before my brother passed away, I wasn't the greatest mentally, if I'm going to be honest, but I told a lot of people I was okay, and I told a lot of people I was dealing with my stuff well before I even started dealing with it, because I was lying to myself by lying to other people. I'd tell a friend that, oh, of course I'm seeing someone to speak to about my head. Of course I am. And I'm like, oh, now I'm all right, I'm fine. And I just wasn't, because I was ignoring that pain. It was there, and it was there a lot. But I was ignoring it because, and it's very evident now, I just didn't want to be different in that respect.
Didn't want to be different.
And the real kicker in all this, is like when you've got a big pain of a sorrow, and especially with my brother passing away, I hated the idea that I was now different to other people because of it. And no one else knew what I was going through, and no one else could really help with that. And that was almost the worst bit about it. And I tried to ignore it for so long, because you just want to... I came back from January, I should have been doing my exams. I went out on nights out, people, everyone's finished their exams, everyone's laughing and joking. And I'm sat there being like, I was different. For the first time in my university education, I was completely out of the loop. And in a lesser extent, when you've come out of a relationship and you've suddenly back into a world of being single, you're out of the loop. But I didn't accept my brother was dead. A lot of denial and awful, man. You don't clock until it's there that you need to accept things. I've never had to accept it properly before anything, really. So I was lucky. But yeah, that's probably that. I rambled a bit there, but that's the real kicker to it, is that if you don't accept it, hold it, because you don't want to be different from other people.
Well, I think the difference is so interesting, like that, because there's so much power in that change. And like if there's a like a really significant change that's happened, you've got a real difference, whatever that may be. And sort of thinking about this, like the goal of a transition is to be able to take the positives from, or take that power and that like raw energy from the end, whatever that may be, and then use it to sort of power you into the right direction. As hard as that is, like that is the ultimate goal, right? Is to like build on the things you've lost, whether it may be lost or gained or whatever, and be able to create, construct with those like, that power, something new and better. And you use that difference as like a, the building blocks of your new self. But then the problem there is that, as you were saying, Isaac, like there's so many levels to it. And just saying like, oh, it's okay. And being in denial about, I remember in previous breakups, like just saying, no, we're just gonna be friends, or it can all work out. Like, that's fine. I'm good. Like within a day, I'm okay. We're just gonna be friends. When really that's not addressing it, but that's like trying to get to the end point so much sooner than it needs to come.
And you sat there, and I talk about like not wanting to be different. It's not necessarily different from other people, but you can sit in a room, and you know, after a breakup, and I know after my brother's loss, I know after my breakups, you sit in a room and you're looking at people, and they're all dealing with their own lives, and maybe they're having good days, and you're not, and you're kind of like, why am I not feeling like that? You almost feel, it's like FOMO, it's like you almost feel left out, because you're sat there dealing with it. And I struggle now even sometimes when I'm really sad, and you feel like a burden sometimes. And it happens after a breakup as well. And I'm a big believer in, I've had a lot of people tell me that, like, oh, I don't know why I'm upset because your grief is worse than what I'm dealing with. And I think everything is relative to yourself. Like, you can't always compare yourself to so-and-so who's had, oh, why am I upset because he lost whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But whatever it is, whatever the grief or whatever the loss, you're whatever end you're feeling, sometimes because other people aren't feeling it, you sit there and you feel, I'm trying to find the right words, you feel left out, you feel different, you feel like you're not one of the people because they're not dealing with what you're dealing with. And you also feel like, why am I having to deal with this? Like, on top of everything else, there's a lot of unpacking here, but you suddenly realise that you can't. I've gone on a ramble here.
No.
It's just on.
We're here with you. We're here like rambling with you. Let's go.
Like, you suddenly, like, it's like here right now. I'm dealing with a breakup. My mum is extremely ill. And I haven't grieved my brother enough at all because I couldn't because of Corona. And I'm sat here and I'm going, I still need to be strong because you guys don't need to deal with that right now. You sometimes almost feel like you don't want to be that person because you everyone else ain't dealing with it. Everyone else is dealing with their own crap.
I can relate so strongly to that. And like, things have taken a turn for the deep, but I'm trying to just talk to you guys. I remember if we skip to the very end of one of my endings, it was our last day of exams. I had just flunked an exam so badly, so well prepared, sat down, was not in the headspace to be sitting an exam at all, forgot absolutely everything. Genuinely forgot absolutely everything. Somehow passed, somehow got 40% on the dot. I was a shell.
It's the compensating passage, the real one. But like that 40 is all right.
I was a shell of myself throughout the rest of the day. And when the day came to an end and I needed to be with myself, there was one of my triggers that just sent me somewhere else. It just made a whole load real. And I'd been surrounded for the whole day in a celebratory mood with all of my friends and more. And I remember I was walking one friend, they were going on a night out. I was walking one friend to the next venue and I was going home when this trigger came. And I probably made it about 200 meters before I needed to sit down. And again, I'm wondering, like, do you guys want to hear this? But I'm just going to be totally open.
Definitely.
And I sat down on this bench and, gosh, it was difficult. It was, I can't really describe it until I started wanting to get up and move. And fear kicked in almost immediately because I was looking at my legs for the first time ever thinking, why are you not moving?
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, snap, Eunice, this is serious. Because it was just normal at that point. And there was so much emotion just clouding everything. And I knew all my friends were there. I knew all my friends. I'd just seen them 15 minutes ago. But I didn't want to drag them into it with me. I was like, you guys are celebrating. Fantastic. You've just finished your exams. And there was that part of me that was like, oh, thank God I have this support network because I really need it. But I didn't want to drag them into it with me. So I was messaging a friend in the end and I dropped my phone. And it was a notification that came up and I was like, oh, I need to get up and get my phone. And I'd gotten up, so I was just like, keep on walking. just walked all the way home. But that was very interesting for me. So, yeah, that was a long roundabout way of saying I can really resonate to when you are just in a different space and you do not want to bring people into that.
I mean, I've got a very similar story. So, obviously, my brother passed away at Christmas, came back in January. I didn't sit my exams for obvious reasons, didn't have time to revise. If I had enough time to revise, it wouldn't have been very good anyway. I still went out with everyone when exams were over. After the funeral, that Friday night after exams, all the clubs were open at this point. Everyone's having such a good time, like, as anyone would be. And I went to lounge and a few people asked me a few questions. And it's all right. Of all the nights, the power goes off in lounge on a Friday. I had quite a lot to drink at this point, but lights go off in lounge. And I was like, oh, it's only like half 11. What's going on here? We all end up outside and ended up, a few people obviously told a few other people and not people that I knew that well. And everyone's having a good time and suddenly I'm surrounded by like 10 people because I'm outside waiting for so-and-so to come out because no one knows where anyone is, it's dark. And suddenly it's like, how are you? You're all right? What's going on? What's this? Oh. And you're surrounded by people who are so happy and elated because they've probably done well, done bad. It doesn't matter. It's end of exams. Let's celebrate. And you stood there and like, I have never felt more. And also they're giving you sympathy. They're giving you sympathy for something that's happened to you. And you can't blame them for that because they're trying to help in their own way. And they're drunk and I'm drunk, but they're trying to help. And you're sat in a situation where everyone's happy. They're trying to help you. And all I could sit there was to sit and cry. I sat and cried on the side of the street in the triangle. A good friend of mine, Chris Bryan, I know you know him, Angus, he picked me up and took me out and I ended up going back to my girlfriend at the time. But I mean, picking him up and being like, we don't need to see this. And he walked away. But like, when something ends and it all links to this, it's the idea that you're sat in a situation where everyone else is probably feeling the similar way. You know, like if you've got a girlfriend at the time, you've got a boyfriend or you're single or nothing, that everyone's all right in your family, you've had a good Christmas, exams are good. You might have your own little things going on, but everyone's kind of in a similar like frame of mind. So going into that bubble, and at the time I was so naive in the fact that I was like, well, I had the funeral, so I should be all right. Give me a month. Like walking into that situation and being like, the first real time I was in a situation where I was mentally not happy and everyone else was. And it can be quite difficult because you almost start blaming other people for being happy. And that's the worst thing in the world. You're almost like, why are you all like elated and I'm not? And that's why I sat and cried, because I'm like, look, you're all really happy. One, I don't want to upset you by laboring you with my story. And two, like, I wish I was that happy. And you start blaming yourself. You start saying, well, why are you not making yourself? You can get into a real dark hole with that.
Mm.
And like that, that's what I mean by when you start again and that pain you bring forward. It's, you pinpoint in from all sides, but sometimes you plateau from that ending. You're not going straight up from a new beginning. You can plateau for a while. You can sit on that ending and be like...
Mm. Or go down even.
Yeah, like we were talking about it a bit earlier about sometimes endings can be almost like shares, like buying shares on the stock market. You sat there and you've put, you're not putting money in, you're putting your time, your love,
your life in.
Your real soul into something. Yeah. And if that is a family member or your time at university or your job or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever, and then when that ends, you cash in. It's not your decision when you cash in, you cash in and you could be up or down, but it's really hard because that's what you carry forward. You carry forward whatever you get from that. And that can be the real kicker. I said that a few times, but real kicker in that.
From your guys' experience then, what kept you moving forwards? What kept that driving force so that, okay, as this story is being written, the page was turned and it did say this is the beginning, did say this is the beginning of something new rather than the end and full stop?
I think for me, it's been like, well, in some cases, just really, well, when it works out, I'm really sort of evaluating everything that has changed and then really trying to concentrate at least the short term, because I don't know how sustainable this is, but concentrate on what is now good that maybe wasn't before. So, for example, in a relationship, maybe suddenly feeling super unsuffocated. Like when there was so much going in and down and so much pressure and why that might have been totally from me.
Mm.
Like while all of that pressure might've been wasted, it's now released, like, and there's space to think about. So yeah, space to talk to different people and like...
And an analogy we were using, Isaac, when we walked and talked about this conversation is, for better or for worse, often with chapters in our lives, we are carrying bags of stones. Now, some of them are gems, some of them are diamonds, some of them are just stones. And this end comes around and maybe it destroys that bag and all your stones are scattered all over the place. But there is a liberation there, is there not? You have dropped some of just the dry old pebbles that you didn't care about.
That analogy is a good one. It's the one my dad uses quite a lot. And he told me the other day, actually, I went home and I've been upset. And he said, he always used to use analogies. He was a salesman. And every time he had a bad sale or a good one, he'd write it on a stone and put it on his back, put it in the backpack on his back. But every time you get that bad one or that good one, you keep holding it, holding it, holding it, and all the bad ones are massive and hard and it's heavy. You break yourself, put it on his back, and suddenly he's broken, he can't do with it anymore.
Mm.
Sometimes, and this, especially with relationships, you do have a lot of baggage, and everyone talks about relationship baggage and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes you have to just drop it where it lands. You got to let go of it. You got read and remember and look at it and go, that is where it was, when it was then. This is now. And it's the same with my brother passing. You've got to look at it and you go, that was then. I have that pain of my girlfriend breaking up with me. I have the pain of hating my course. Whatever it is. Suddenly you look back and go, oh, that hurt, but all the good bits are still there instead of being overshadowed by all the bad bits. I mean, my brother, me and him didn't get on. We loved each other. We didn't get on. Now, I could sit here and tell you and scream and shout about all the things like that were great and we loved each other and that, but like the bad bits creep in and accepting them is important. And I wish I'd accepted them at the time and been like, well, we're just different people. I didn't. And that's partially the reason why I'm still the way I am, because I regret my relationship with him. Mm. I regret not, and this is, say, a relationship with university, but it's an easy one to go with. It's not all good, but if you phrase it as all good and it ends and you see all the crap bits, then you think it's crap. You got to accept it as a whole. I looked at my brother and I was like, I just want him to be my mate. I just want him to be my mate. If I just accepted the things that I thought were bad, it might have been better. Now I'm looking back when he's passed away and I'm like, I can't do anything about it. Mm. And that's another thing about endings. You realise what could have happened. It's easy to analyse once you're out of it. University, I could have joined that society. I could have just put a bit more work into that exam. Could have done a bit more on that disc. Relationships, I could have told her I loved her more. I could have held back some of the pain instead of jumping on it and attacking her with it almost. My brother, I could have just turned around and been like, I know he struggled a lot with his head, with mental health. I could have said, I love you and it's better, but I didn't. And now I'm in the situation I'm in where I can't do that. I can't do it with the relationship I was in. I can't do it with uni anymore. I can't do it with my brother. It comes back to biting in the arse, mate.
Mm. Yeah.
It really does.
It's almost as if the pen has been lifted and the ink has dried. And you have to read that story. Mm. For all its imperfections, we'd love to always be able to just be like, okay, the happy ending is coming. Okay, but it ends on this fantastic note. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it really doesn't, but it's an interesting question, Angus. You asking... I've forgotten the question, but I remember the sentiment.
Something I'm thinking is that these, like, a bit of uni's an end. Like, well, just based off what Isaac's just been saying, is that their power really is looking at them retrospectively. And a beginning has kind of got the bonus of it not... you're still in it always. The beginning is always kind of, you're always able to edit things. And if you're in it, then whatever, even if it started badly, you think, well, I've built up this and that. And I've got the things with the end is that there's, it's set in stone. Whenever it's come, it's bang, that's it. And that's what you've got to deal with.
And with endings and beginnings, like we're saying, like it's crap, because when you're at the end, you've got the retrospect of all the good bits, all the bad bits, which are haunting you, and the uncertainty of the future ahead of you. So you're sat at a point, still in time, whatever, and you're going, all you've got is the berating yourself from the back, from the past, and you've not got a clue what the future brings. That is like, ooh, that's where the, like, I spoke about it earlier to you guys, like, the real endings and beginnings is fear. Mm. And we call it nerves, people, whatever, but like, you're scared. Awesome. I was scared of what's a good question. Scared of, what do I do now?
Hmm? Who am I now?
Yeah.
My brother passing away, what do I do? Like, no one could tell me what to do. Like, my parents didn't know what... I had university to do, and I had friends to see, and I played some squash, and I did what I do. But I didn't know what to do about my brother in my own head. You can speak to a therapist, they're not going to help you all that much. You can speak to a doctor, they're not going to help you all that much. What? How do you keep going? I've ended my relationship. We ended it. What do I do now? Now you're alone in this. That's what I felt like after my brother, even though we weren't close. Now I'm alone with my family, in some respects. Like, how do you deal with that? You finish university, your friends have gone all off to different jobs all around, maybe you're all in London. You might have a job, you might not. And you know what you're doing. Like, I know what I'm doing right now. I'm tutoring, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, but what? How do you do it? And it's scary, man. It's scary. Mm. Like, it's unknown and it's hard. And I don't know if you guys can feel the same way, but it's you're looking down a real long road and you don't know what's there. And you thought people were there and they're not.
Oh yeah. I've been there. I've been there. When this is you and this is what you're doing and this is what you invest in and it goes and you can no longer depend so much on that. And now you're looking around at all of the others and you're thinking, oh wow, you're looking a bit thin, aren't you? For me, I'm speaking from personal experience, the end of my relationship in second year is where I realized I didn't have any proper friends. And the sort that you need at uni more often than not, because you need that fundamental base, that network. I had friends akin to how many of my school friends were. It was normal. But I wasn't codependent on them in the same way. I was codependent on this person that had just left me. And I remember almost immediately after looking out of my window and just thinking, wow, Bristol is empty. Is absolutely empty because so much had left with me when that person had. And it was, I hated a friend for telling me this at the time, but I remember I was on the phone with a friend and they were like, yeah, Eunice, you need to re-find single Eunice. You've been in relationship Eunice for so long and that's the only person you've fed. And you don't really know where single Eunice is and he can't support his own weight now. But you just need to re-find him because he is enough. He was enough for most of your life. And I hated him for that because it was true. Because it was true because it meant there was so much work because it was an explanation for the pain, which is what you need but not always what you want. And it was at that point where I started, okay, I need to reinvent myself. It was a very good analogy because it really did say, okay, I need to refine that man and rebuild him. And there it was, okay, all of those light relationships, I was like, okay, they just become very real. I need them and I need to invest in them.
And I mean, it's really interesting saying about you need to find single Eunice again. I have a guy in my life called Danny. He's a squash coach and he helped me a lot. He's always has, and he has been recently. And he always used to say, like, it was about something different, but it holds true. You forget who you are sometimes. And it happens when you get into a relationship with someone, or you lose someone. You forget who you are.
Mm.
Like, who you were before that.
Mm.
The reason why they liked you, the reason... Like you got into university, like people talk about their intelligence a lot at university. Like, well, I was smart when I was doing my A-levels. Like, nah, you just had more confidence back then. A lot of people have their confidence not to university in several different ways.
Mm.
And I struggle with it a lot, but remembering who you are.
Mm.
Like, I was the guy that, you know, a lot of people tell me, like, remember, you dealt with your brother's death. Like, you did it and you're still here. Remember that. And I forget that a lot.
Mm.
I don't forget that death, but you forget who you were and how you dealt with it. And, like, that's what happens with a lot of endings. You go back to where you were. You go back to your base self.
Yeah.
When you've had a few endings, you got to look back and you went, oh, well, I got through leaving primary school and going to secondary school when I was 10. I dealt with leaving secondary school and going to a new college. I dealt with going to a new college and then going to the university. I dealt with breaking up with this girl. I broke, and I stood up and I was all right enough to deal with that. Remember who you are. Remember what you've gone through.
So I was thinking that an end is like, it's a reassessment of yourself, but in a such twisted filter that your brain is so angry at being suddenly out of its comfort zone and so upset with the actions it thinks it's led to that place that it's not giving you your true self. I think, well, in some ways it shows your real truth about yourself, but in other ways it's not. It's twisted and doesn't show you all those strengths and the fact that you're here and you've gone through this end is actually that's what you should really care about. But your brain is so desperate to say the opposite and say it's all your fault and all these people's faults, and just build from that, I think.
If we are splitting ourselves, dissecting ourselves, so I'm running with the relationship unis and single unis, what do we have to learn about the ending self? About the person that we find ourselves when we've just, as it always feels, lost something big.
They're all you though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are all
you.
That's
the thing, that's what's to remember. Like, we're talking like an interim person, as it were. I think the best thing for anyone I could tell them is just remember who you are and what you can do.
Mm.
Like, I forget it so much. I used to be like, there was a time in summer where I was cock of the walk. Like, I felt like anything. You ever get those times where you feel like anything touches gold? Like, it doesn't matter if it is or it's not. Like, you're just there, and it's in the moment. I forgot what that was like. I wasn't like that anymore. And you can never, if you go around searching for that, you're never going to find it, because you're not going to. But just remembering that is enough, and being like, well, you were like that, so you can be like that again. You shouldn't aim for it as such. It's just like, remember it and go, oh yeah, all right, it'll get better. Do the building blocks, do what needs to be done, and you'll find yourself there. The worst thing about it is like quite a lot of things, especially relationships. Like, once you stop looking and just chill out, things just start happening. It's when you're like in it and you're intent and you're like, rah, is when things break, because it's too much.
And I think also there's something to be said for not having the sort of ultimate goal as you, just as a solitary, totally defensible object that regardless of whatever endings or beginnings come at you, you're just impervious to it and you're fine. Because I don't think that's either necessarily attainable or necessarily good. And like that feeling where you're just feeling good and you feel connected, I think that comes with like, like a connection with your environment, and sort of, so you've got to value the codependence you have with your environment to some extent. And when that goes, acknowledge how good it was, and then maybe, yeah, divert those investments and those energies. You've lost what you previously invested. You've now got all that energy spare to reinvest into new environments and new,
As we said, we've dropped the bag. And now the bag's a lot more empty for you to fill with, hopefully, greatness, great things, more you. That's very interesting.
And also, it's like you fill out to your space, the environment that is what you experience. You slowly sort of sit down into it and you become comfortable in it, and you mold to the shapes and the sizes that you need to sort of. So, I don't know, you might speak to certain people who give you this certain thing at certain times, and you might do this amount of work or whatever, just to keep it all comfortable and going. And the second something big changes, an end, for example, happens, you're suddenly knocked out of shape hugely. Your environment hasn't changed necessarily, but you're now a new shape going through what previously fitted and was comfortable and rewarding, and now it's not fitting. And it's like, it's the environment's fault or it's my fault, when it's actually kind of a combination of the two.
And that really resonated with me. What previously fitted, this life that fitted you in a lot of ways to a glove, now
that's the one. I tell you what, Corona has really shown us that.
Yeah,
that is a big example of it. Like, we lost, it's all about endings, like sport. We couldn't go and play sport, we can't go to a pub and see our friends. Like, we had to really get back. And it's just a first world problem, and like, obviously we're all fit. In fact, we're all fit and healthy. We've all got enough money to eat and sleep and have heating. You know what I mean? But like, yeah, we went through our lives expecting that we could do X, Y, and Z, and we can't right now. And I mean, I don't know, like, I struggle to reshape my life. I mean, I had a lot of other things going on as well, but trying to reshape myself to be able to go through this healthily and like really deal with it, and that's been tough. Like, And I think a lot of people struggle with that as well. Like it's, and it's funny how suddenly when we're stripped back to things before, we've lost a lot of things that we all kind of go, oh crap, like we're in trouble here.
What did you invest in? What were you investing in? Because if I'm thinking over the last chapter of my life, the two big endings would be the ending of a relationship. Thankfully, I haven't lost anyone recently. And then, yeah, the ending of my previous normal life where I wasn't socially distanced from everyone. And exactly. What do you turn to? What are you investing in those times?
What? It's the real kicker. It's like it's, and Angus put it so well. Like you are trying to refit yourself into the same. That's the worst bit about it. You're refitting yourself into the same space on your own.
It's interesting. I don't want to come up with like another silly analogy, but think about like a rock that's really jagged and got some knobs on, got maybe pieces inside of it, and you throw it into a river. And it's going to like run down this river and smash into different things and really have a quite terrible time. But give it enough time, it's going to come into like a really smooth, really well-defined, precious piece of rock. Mm. But it's only got that through hitting into things and really addressing the size of the riverbed in the case of the rock. But for us, it's like, thinking about our environment, the problems the environment's causing us, and thinking, well, how am I changing? How do I need
for
to
me,
change?
For me, yeah, that smoothing process really just was sitting with these emotions rather than running. Sitting with these emotions rather than running and having these conversations rather than avoiding them.
I mean, that's a great analogy. Like, it's...
Yeah.
So a relationship's a great example of it. You have got this life set for yourself. Actually, it's the same with... it's a little less with university because your life completely changes and you will go somewhere new. With a relationship or with someone you've lost, you started off ragged with someone or with someone you loved and you end up smooth and all right, and then suddenly you're taken out of that. You're taken out of what you thought was your environment and put back in it all cut up again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary. It's like, how do you round yourself as a person when you're in the same place?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so difficult because you've done it before, but you never thought you'd have to do it again.
Yeah, and there's no option other than just smashing in again.
And you have to go forwards. There's only one direction to go, and it's forwards.
How did you guys communicate, I need different from you guys? Because, the day before, I am normal Unisci. Something happens, I am a completely different person. Everyone's primed to treat me as a normal Unisci, to do normal Unisci things. Everything else kind of continues as if nothing has changed. And I found myself, I can't even remember how I did it, but needing to communicate, okay, things have changed within and I need different things from everyone, myself included. I'll take some time to think about it maybe as you guys respond. But how did you guys go about that process?
I think just quickly, thinking about that in terms of actually valuing yourself, not necessarily greater than, but at least equal to your environment. And I think if you're coming out of whatever, a relationship, it's so easy to think it's my fault now that I'm not fitting in. And it's my self and inner being that's the problem.
Mm.
When actually it happens to everyone, bad stuff in whatever capacity everyone is familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so you're so entitled to say, I'm valuable. My environment needs to change a little bit to accommodate me. I talk to friends who maybe are saying inappropriate stuff or whatever it may be, maybe laughing about your ex or something. You say, well, no, I'm not actually that happy about that. I've changed and I'd like you to change a little bit as well. I think, and just having either conversations or doing things slightly differently to, at least in the short term, really make sure you're valued for who you are as a human being, which is a huge amount.
Because we are entitled to that reaction from our environment, aren't we, to some degree? I don't like using the word entitled, but for us to be conducive to our environments and our environments to be conducive to us, yeah, we do need to change. The river does need to smooth out the rocks, otherwise it will kill all of the aquatic life in there.
The hard bit about it all is sometimes not wanting to be open but not being able to. Letting yourself. Like, sometimes I found it hard to speak to people about it, because not because I didn't want to, but because I couldn't put that on someone else. And it's hard, man. Like, you sit there and you really can't bring yourself to do it. When you do and you speak to people, it can be quite difficult because they don't know what to say sometimes, and they're trying to help. And then suddenly you're in your own head being like, how do you do this? Like, how do you, I need to be open right now, but people can't deal with what's going on. And that can be like hard for everyone. Like, everyone involved in it, like me, the person speaking to, like it. And that's what, like, when you start and again with people and being like that, it can be quite like oh they're not prepared for this version of you, because you're not prepared for this version of you.
Has it ended though until you've done that?
Did anything really ever end? What is ending? I mean, laughed about that though. That's a good point.
Yeah,
like, we spoke about like carrying things over, but and leaving things behind. And we spoke about it earlier before the podcast, like, how much do we need to leave behind? How much do we want to leave behind? How much is left behind? How much do we bring forward? Like, relationships, I shouldn't have said that. I won't say that in that situation again. I'll do this next time. Or, well, I did that well. I thought that was the right way to handle the situation. In the future, I'll do that. Like, even with a loss, like, I'm there being like, if it happened again, and I have to be in that situation again, I know how to deal with it. I mean, my mum's really ill right now, and I know that I should be there, and I have been there, and I'm there at the right time, and I know that's the right thing to do because I've done it before. I brought that with me. And my brother's death brought a lot of sadness, but it brought a lot of strength in some respects as well. Like that, and that's the thing with endings, like the sadness and all that stuff. Once you've gone through that,
it fuels you.
It can harden you the wrong way. It can make you too abrasive sometimes. Talk about abrasive from the rocks, but make you too abrasive sometimes. But it can strengthen you in your mind. And I hate to say like your soul, but like it can really strengthen you. As long as you don't let that ruin your relationships with people, it can really bolster you.
I think it can bolster relationships as well. I mean, think of the strength, like that strength. If you go through something terrible and then you meet somebody who's right at the depth of that end, but you've already got that experience, you're going to be the perfect person, and you'll know the questions or not the questions to ask. Like, you'll know where to, because you know, and if it means just leaving the person or whatever it may be, the context of it, you have that wealth of experience that when you're in it, that's the thing you're thinking is the absolute worst, that you've been sort of, it's weighted down. You think, I just want this off me. But come however many months or years in the future, that suddenly becomes actually the diamonds in your backpack. Is those things that you can bring my light.
It's a hard one to go by, because I've had a lot of people tell me this is going to make you feel better. Not so that make you feel better. Make you stronger in the future. And that for the future's a long way away. Like, it can be hard. Like, I feel weak sometimes for the way I act, and like a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't do it, but that's another thing about endings. As much as you can bolster, you can feel weak for letting it hurt you as well. I think that's what a lot of media and like movies really, really, I mean, they really, really ruin the picture, because talk about breaking up and everyone, suddenly someone's crying for about 3 minutes, and then a week later, like a day later, they're like, yeah, whatever. Someone
I'm
dies
here
in a movie.
2 decades later, yeah.
100 people are giving them a hug, and suddenly they're laughing later about, that's not saying that's the case, but I'm not saying that's not the case sometimes, but you can expect, if you haven't met that person who knows what to do, you can expect things yourself that you can't do.
What is interesting is, from my perspective and my experience, that long way away, as much as it is measured in time, time heals all if you let it, is not. It's measured in conversations, honest conversations with yourself and others. It's measured in activities. It's measured in, okay, I need to listen to this part. And actually, okay, this other part of myself has something to say. I need to tell that to Angus, to Isaac, to he, to she, to they, whatever role they represented. And that's one of the things I'm grateful I had this experience. I realized with regards to, yeah, me getting over some of my endings. As much as time does heal all, you need to put in the reps. And you can expedite the process by just doing it now, by not running.
That's the one.
By not running.
That's the real kit. That's the real one. Like, it's hard not to run sometimes. We spoke about it again a little bit earlier. I remember I broke up my first girlfriend cheated on me, and I remember speaking to one of my housemates in America, and she told me, she's like, you have to lean into it. Give yourself time to lean into it. I was like, what are you on about? Like, all the movies are like, you just get over it, like, cheat on you, scream and shout and tell her to F off, but it's fine. And that's true with a lot of pain and ends. If you don't lean into it, I think we kind of touched on it earlier again with the whole, like, things will come in from different angles. If you don't lean into it now and accept it, it'll come back to haunt you and bite your ass. Like, let's say you don't get over this relationship or this person passing away. For example, I ran away from the issues with my brother, and I ran away from grieving for him properly. And now I'm in a situation which not a lot of people have been in. Like, my mum's really ill right now, and like, I don't know what's going to happen. But like, I ran away from my brother's death for too long. And like, I'm dealing with that still now, and it's come back to bite me straight away. Because I didn't deal with it when it was there.
Tie it up and leave it, and yeah. Move on from it.
And like, anyone that's going through any sort of loss, like, it's so easy to run away from it. It's like, and with relationships, like you're saying, like, you want to talk and be like it was before, and you want all that, but it, the long run, if you just, you need to tie it up, finish it off, put a full stop, done. Because if you don't accept it and do that, you'll end up floundering around. And when the next bad thing comes up, or in a relationship, the next person that comes up who's really nice and you like them, love them, and it's like, you've not dealt with this glaring thing in your face. My mum's ill right now, and I'm still glaring at this death that I haven't dealt with.
And often, it can be very frustrating. You need to do that multiple times. I remember in the chat we had beforehand, I was saying about how I got broken up with, and then I realized I really need to also break up with them. Just make that mental shift that, okay, yeah, done. But I got broken up with multiple times when it just hit me in waves, and I needed to end this myself multiple times. It's like, okay, we tried once. We're back in exactly the same spot. Do it again.
But how
do it again.
How do you find the energy for that, though? Because it's so damaging. And
how hard can you fight? That's the real question. How much do you want to fight for something to stay where it is? And how much should you fight for something like that? A relationship's an interesting one. You have bad times, you have good times. How much do you want to fight for those good times to come back? How much are you willing to deal with for those good times to come back?
It's like taking it to like a total minimalistic thing with work. I, for example, with deadlines, I'm always doing really last minute, and it's frustrating because I could be doing something I really enjoy, and I've just got that nagging feeling I've got to do the work. Mm. And I know that I could, it's going to take me the same amount of time whether I do it now or in 3 weeks. I know that if I did it now, I'd be so much happier for the next 3 weeks, or I could enjoy going out and all of these things without having that nagging feeling. But I still do it in 3 weeks. I don't have the momentum. And I'm sure it scales up to even like a terrible thing you've got to deal with or do, and you know it's going to take time, you know it's going to take time either now or down the line. How do you find that momentum? Because it's only going to exponentially increase.
That's what we're talking about. How much do you want to go through it right now? Relationships are a classic example of, you're in a good relationship, bad relationship, wherever you sit on it, on whatever scale we're going to go on. That's where you sit in your relationship with someone. Friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. The unknown is scary because you don't know what's going to happen, but you're sitting comfortable here and you know you can deal with it because you're in it. And that's the difference between like a loss of a family member and a loss in a relationship, is you at least you get the idea of like seeing where, like you get to pick when that happens, but you're sitting comfortable here and suddenly you need to break, the relationship won't break up because you don't want to go into the unknown. It might be the best thing for you. Mm-hmm. You might be getting like abused by this person, or it might just be the worst relationship. You can't see them every 3 days, you're having a massive shouting match, all this kind of stuff. But you know what that's like. Mm. You know how bad that is or how good that is. Mm. You don't know where leaving them would be or where you will be without them. But you know what this is like. And that's that fear again. Mm. That ending to beginning is a fear of where I sit at the end of this. That's kind of the same with work in some respects. Like, where do I... Where?
Yeah, because when you submit the thing, you can't change it, can you?
You can't change it. You've done it. You've made that decision. Mm. And like, it's like work's like a relationship. How much do you want to put into that essay? And you could have put hours and hours and hours in it and get a third. Like, because that's the way it sits. Because you just didn't know what you're talking about.
What I would ask Angus is, if you could pep talk to you that went through that ending that you're thinking about, what would you tell them?
I think just do it now. Like, get it out of the way. Because the fact you're considering the ending means in some ways the ending is already there. Now, that's in the context of that, I think matters, because that was in a relationship that was very valuable for many reasons, but was definitely, for me, coming to an end. And it was, the comfort, as Isaac was saying, that the safety of the devil you know rather than the devil you don't, was all tying in and like powering up the argument against getting it over and done with.
Mm.
However, almost the opposite could be said for a later relationship, a more recent one, I should say, where if I'd, even though it did come to an end, if I'd sort of given up on it too early, I really wouldn't have taken myself to an environment that I learned so much about myself, and it allowed me to realize how I functioned in this environment, and I wouldn't have changed that experience for anything, even though I may have had new time and new energy to invest.
Yeah,
it was almost more worthwhile putting it into something I knew was going to end destructively.
I'll pose that question to you as well, Isaac. If you had to give yourself a pep talk to the you that was going into whichever ending it is that you're thinking about, what would you tell them?
I'll go back to what I said earlier. Like, remember who you are and who you were, man. Like, remember what you've been like. You're the exact same person right now as you were then. This is just a different part of you. Like, people get low and get to a place where they can't think of anything else apart from how sad they are and how they can't go again, and you can go again. you pick yourself up and you go again. Like, because you've gone, you always go again. You end a relationship, you stand back up and you become single, and you, however long it takes, you probably find another girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever. Or you, someone's passed away, and like, but you stand up again and you deal with it and you go, all right, like, we go again. That's a funny phrase from some of my friends, but yeah, just go again. You stand up, you brush yourself off, and if you need some other people to help you, that's okay as well. But like, you will stand up and go again. That's the best advice I can give anyone. Like, you've done it before and you shall do it again.
If I had to answer that question myself, I'd say properly end it. If there's so many levels that if you have been broken up with, you need to break up with them. You need to end the inner relationship unis. You need to move on in every way possible. And that not all the time, that can mean different friendship groups. That can mean different environment. Literally, physically move yourself away from what is dragging you back to pre-ending. Because symbolically, to heal, you really need to fully dive into, we're a different person. We have different lives. We do different things. And I was, in my experience, I was in a situation where that had happened mentally. But with regards to everything that was around me, I was still in exactly the same environment, and it ground me down.
You need to reset base level. Like, you're, like, with everything. Like, if you end something, your new normal is not the same. I think once you find your new normal, it might take a long time, but that's the one, finding your new normal. And that's what you can say. Like, if it's a new friendship group, it's new this, new that, like, your normal was being with this girl. This was Eunice with this girl. And she's not there anymore. And you can't be that normal, because that space needs to be filled with something. As much as you don't want it, even if it's with yourself, it needs to be filled with something, because it was for someone else or something else. Same with my brother passing away. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
That is a big old space that needs to be...
That you and that life was for them. And so leave it with them. You can't drag the same person and the same life with you forwards.
I can't walk around being the same person who had a brother. I've got a brother. That's not fair to say. Mm-hmm. His brother's still alive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can walk around and pretend like I did. And that's what I did to save myself from actually having to make that new normal.
Mm.
It's the same with breaking up with someone. You walk around for a couple of weeks afterwards. You keep going. Oh, well, yeah, I'm not seeing her, but... And we're broken up, but, oh, I'm just going to keep going as normal.
Mm.
You can't keep going as normal. You have to find that new normal.
Mm.
Like, you need to find what you're going to do on those four nights a week you saw or whatever. Like, you do.
That was a painful one.
It's a big one, isn't it? Like, and suddenly you realise how much time you've actually not spent with other people and how much time. Yeah. And it's the exact same thing. That new beginning starts with a new normal, a new base. And once you've got something where when all the chips are down, you're on this level, and it's a happy level, or it's a calm level, you can build from it. Mm. So I built from shoddy foundations for far too long, and you end up in a situation where I am right now. Like, I'm in a hole right now.
Is that how you know you're ready for a new beginning, when it almost feels like you don't need one? Because your foundations are good here.
I feel like foundations being good is something that doesn't necessarily mean a new beginning. I think you can build on good ones in yourself, but when those break and something breaks down and it ends, you have to start again. I think it comes back to that whole, like, I don't want to be different. I don't want to not be normal, because the rebuilding process, like, loads of people talk about, like, oh, I don't want to have to go back on the dating scene again. I don't want to have to go on back on X, Y, and Z, all these apps and stuff. And it's just like, you put time, effort into building something, a relationship with my brother, for example, a relationship with uni, all this kind of stuff. And suddenly it's all broken. It's all in pieces on the floor, but you can't rebuild the same thing again.
No.
You got to start again afresh. Clean.
Mm. All right.
It's the only way. It might be.
I think that wraps that up. Well, thank you very much, both of you. I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. Ooh. I didn't realise how much I needed it.
I feel better. I feel better. I've had a good long chat, and I feel better.
Fantastic. Okay. And history was made.
Thank you to all of our returning listeners for tuning in, and welcome all of our first-time listeners. Now, I have a bit of news. Thank you, all of our returning listeners, and welcome all of our first-time listeners. There's a bit of news at the PD Project. We are running some workshops in just about 3 weeks' time now, kicking off on Wednesday, the 21st of April. We, the stories, and chapter one is on self-belief. If that sounds like something you would benefit from, please do find the link in the description. We'd love to see you there. It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness.